Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Blazer. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2023 WGC Dell Match Play, where kind of the top 64 in the world are showing up to play this week. Kind of 64 of the best. But we'll get into that and much, much more. We'll recap a little bit of the Valspar as well, as a first-time winner across the finish line in good old Jacksonville, Florida. You can find myself on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Another week in the books. Another what the hell trunk slam Friday. It was just it was fun in the DFS streets. But I know you were preoccupied this week.
Yeah,
yeah. Everything's going on.
I literally watched I think 2 shots of golf this week, and it was the last two putts. Jordan Spieth and Schenck. Thank you. Yes, yeah. That was it. That's all I watched. So
yeah, I was heavily
my analysis is out the window. You go ahead.
I was heavily invested because I had Jordan Spieth and one and done. I said, screw it, we're going. And his Saturday, he had 5 birdies and an eagle, but then he had 5 bogeys, I believe. Yes. That was Jordan Spieth at his finest. Yeah. And then on Sunday, like, he was doing well, 3 under, and then finds the drink on 16, misses a very makeable birdie putt on 17. And then if he hits his approach shot on 18 about maybe a foot farther, he's probably within like 10 feet for birdie. Instead, it rolls all the way back down the hill. It was Jordan Spieth to a freaking T this past week. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what you get, man. Good news is, though, I feel like he's figuring it out, and we do have a small golf tournament coming up here in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, and I'm going to find this tweet. It was pretty impressive. Justin Ray, who always puts out really cool like little stat nuggets.
Yes, he does.
Out there. He threw this one out this morning, and I just like said, man, I should have saved Spieth for that little golf tournament you're talking about in Augusta, Georgia, because he tweeted out that man, he tweeted out a lot today for his standards. Let me go back here. Jordan Spieth, here's the last three Easters, or two Easters, then we'll talk about this one. Easter Sunday 2021, Spieth wins the Texas Open. Easter 2022, Spieth wins the RBC Heritage. This year, Easter Sunday is the Masters. It all lines up, like you're saying. Like, I saw that and was like, and it's a course he's won, and he could easily win again. No one would be shocked at all.
Yeah, dude, I can't fucking wait for the Masters. I already know who I'm playing.
Yeah, we're 2 weeks out. It's beautiful. I know. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's like WGC, it's fun. It's obviously different, but I'll mention a couple more things about the Valspar. Adam Hadwin's trunk slam on Friday, asshole. He crushed some lineups for me, just destroyed them. That was the chalk bomb of the week. The other thing was Adam Shank was awesome. He was grinding his ass off. He hit one left-handed on 18 that gave him a chance to still stick in it. It was a grind session that he just came up short. And it was cool to see Taylor Moore finally get his first dub. So it was a good week. Some of the big guys still played well. Fleetwood was up there too, but then you had some young guys. So it was kind of a mixed bag and not too shabby, not too shabby. So good week overall in golf.
I'll go that for way. Sure.
Justin Thomas still looks a little broken. I'll admit that. Fitzpatrick is completely broken right now. We'll have to see how that rebounds. I don't know if it's the neck or what, but he is just gonzo. So keep an eye on him as well. All right. Did you want to talk tournament at all? Or are you good?
Oh, I have no idea. I think you did a great job.
No. Tournament. Did you want to talk tournament?
March NCAA Madness. Tournament?
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Just checking.
Fuck that tournament.
All right. Then let's talk this tournament. Let's talk a little bit of match play. Let's talk the Dell match play. There's not a whole lot of past event history. Like we kind of mentioned off the air. Did you want to bring anything up? Like you can, if you'd like.
Yeah.
It's a weird field this year for one.
It is. But they have played it, at this, how long have they been playing it here?
I believe this is year six or seven at the Austin Country Club.
Yeah. So last year, Scottie Scheffler was the winner, over Kevin Kisner, 4-3. 2021 was Billy Horschel over Scottie Scheffler. 1-2-1. Kevin Kisner was the 2019 champion. 2020 was canceled. 2019 over Matt Kuchar, 3-2. Bubba Watson, RIP, was the winner over Kevin Kisner. God damn, Kevin Kisner. This is like a
his legs is joint.
I mean, he just cashes checks here. 7-6 though that year, and then DJ won it in 2017. Jason Day's won this event twice. Kuchar has won it in the past as well. And I think that's pretty much it as far as what
matters. While you're talking, they've played at the Austin Country Club since 2016.
Okay.
So that's a bit there. It's a par 71, 7,100 yards, so it's a short course. There's a handful of par fours, like a bunch. Like I think it's like six or seven under 400 yards. So it's not a driver's course. It's more of a Pete Dye course. We've talked about Pete Dye. You got to hit certain spots. You got to have good approach game. It's all strategic. It's all positional golf. There's over 100 bunkers on this golf course. Water comes into play on seven of the holes. It's kind of deserty golf. It's there in Austin, a little baked out, given they've had a little more rain than usual this year. But usually you get a lot of run. The rough usually isn't too crazy, but you know, I was picturing the course today just from years past. Like, I remember the year Sergio, like, didn't he, like, a walk-off hole-in-one on a playoff hole or some shit? Or Fleetwood did one of the two. And,
yes.
Yeah, you get, like, these, the course is beautiful. It almost feels like they're playing at La Quinta where it's beautiful, but then it looks all dead around them.
Yeah.
Austin's got a lot of that. A lot of that. So it's kind of deserty, linksy looks to it. So keep that in mind. But it's a gettable golf course if you're staying, like, you know, fairway, good approach game. And like any match play, putting is king. That's why Kiz does great. Kiz loves short courses. Kiz loves Pete Dye. Kiz is one of the best putters in golf.
Yeah.
So that's why Kiz just lights this place up.
Yeah.
It's a Bermuda greens, as you'd expect, down in Tejas. There's not a whole lot more to it because you can get all technical on certain things, this and that. But in the end, it's one-on-one golf. It's not as much stroke play. So I know you still got to be good at certain aspects of the game. I'm not clueless to that. But when you have short par fours, you need to crush the par fives. But I think most of these guys should be able to crush par fives. There's three of them. They range from 517 or 565 to 590. So they're all pretty gettable in two for the most part. The par threes aren't too bad, like 185, 201, 194, 150. So there's only one over 200 technically, where last week at Valspar, they were all over 200. So it's a very, very good course if your approach game's on. Tee to green game solid. And you can grind out those putts and be very mentally strong between the ears is what I'd say, is what match play entails. You need to be mentally strong to just throw it away, which is ironic because Tyrell Hatton's been phenomenal here. And that is really ironic for a guy that's mentally between the ears. So maybe it's, you know, he has to yell to get it through his system. That's what he does. What other stats are you looking for this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of making birdies, hitting greens. You know, the great thing about match play is you can lose a hole and then win five straight or win, you know, 17 in a row if you play that many. But yeah, I mean, it's this is one of the best tournaments. I would put this in the top 10 of my favorite tournaments throughout the whole entire year. And this golf course is great. It's a super fun watch. And there is a lot of strategy involved on DraftKings in this. So we'll get into that.
Yeah, that's kind of how we're going to approach it. We've done in years past. We basically go pocket by pocket throughout the bracket of the deal. And there was four pools. There's pool A, B, C, and D, 1 through 16, 17 through 32, so on and so forth. One player from each pool got drawn in to face each other. DraftKings pricing came out, and we'll kind of give you our best, our ideas of how we play this out in the brackets per se, and then how to look at the pricing, as there's always going to be an expensive, a cheap, and a couple mids, and most of them, some it's just three cheaps and a beast. So we'll have to kind of play those games as well. But we'll start in the top left corner of the bracket with the number one seed, the hottest golfer in golf at this point in time, because, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it was John Rahm. Now it is Scottie Scheffler, who's just beasting out right now. He's in at 11,100. He is the highest priced golfer in this field. He gets Tom Kim at 87, Davis Riley at 73, and Alex Noren at 7,000. And this seems like the defending champion, hottest golfer on tour, and he's got guys that have not played here.
Yeah, I mean, Noren has, obviously.
Yeah,
but I mean,
like the other two mid-priced
dudes. Yeah, nothing. And they're young dudes. I mean, for me here, it's Scottie Scheffler. Like, I'm not – like, I might – I already know that if I play 150 lineups, I'll have 150 Scottie Scheffler lineups. I don't care.
You can get cheap in this field pretty easily. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm with you on Scotty. Like, I'm not even going to go deep in this discussion either. Like, could Tom Kim shock the world and, you know, do his President's Cup thing? Sure. Anybody can. That's the beauty of match play. Like Jesse was saying, you can shoot a 10 on one hole and come back and win five in a row and just beat the crap out of somebody and no one will know the difference. And that's the beauty of it. And Kim showed those stones. Davis Riley's playing good golf. Not going to knock that. Noren's got experience. But, yeah, it's Scottie Scheffler through and through. It's one of those. If Scotty doesn't play well, I'm cool losing. That's just the way it goes. Like, he's the best of the best. There's other cheapies I like. I'll save the rest of the Scheffler talks. We'll mention him a few more times, I'm pretty sure, throughout the bracket. But big fan of Scottie Scheffler. The other part of the Scheffler region is what I'm going to call this. Sung Jae Im at $9,400. Mav McNeely at 68. Fleetwood at 83. Looks like he's rounding into form. And JT Poston at 63. So, where are you looking at this one? Because this is a region where I think you can maybe save some cash if you're feeling it.
You could, but see, the problem is, like, if I play 150 Scottie Scheffler lineups, I don't want anybody from here. Because this gets into the whole, need to try to make sure that you get eight, or at least have the possibility to get six golfers through to the final eight, to the elite eight, whatever you want to call it. The final eight in the, you know. And so if you really like Scottie Scheffler, you don't want to play anybody in this range because you think Scottie Scheffler is going to beat him. And then that's going to be one less golfer that you would have the position to get into, the Elite Eight. Now, with that being said, if I don't like Scottie Scheffler, I'm just going to play Tommy Fleetwood.
We're on the same page, 100% on the same page. I love Sungjae. So that could be an angle. If you aren't playing Scottie, obviously you'll have money to spend.
No, 100%. Like, this may be the lowest owned range. So if you want to play leverage.
No one's going to play against Scotty.
Right, right.
The only concern I have, it's like if you're not playing Scotty, then you're probably playing John Rahm, who's $100 cheaper, so you're still out of money, is what it comes down to. So, yeah, Sungjae would be tougher, where Fleetwood falls right into place, which is part of the strategy. If you are playing John Rahm, you're obviously not playing Scotty, so you're probably playing Fleetwood. That's kind of because you want someone out of this bracket, to what Jesse was saying there. So that's where all the strategy comes into play. That's why I always fill out a bracket every year to kind of keep my mind straight when I'm filling out DraftKings lineup. They've done better in recent years putting the like quadrants they're in next to their names, so you know, like, hey, don't put someone against these guys kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to do the, you know, six of the eight, and you, it's either Scheffler or Fleetwood for us. That's the way we're talking about it. It's one of those two, preferably Scotty Scheffler. We both have Scotty on the Elite Eight.
Right. Yeah. Right. So it's never and. So like that, like you said, the Scott, I think that's a good way to look at it. You called this the Scheffler region. Yeah. So then the next one is the Morikawa region, right? And that's like you just want one player from each region.
Yep. And see,
and that's it.
I'm fortunate Jesse's smart with Excel and sheets and stuff. Each region he color coded. So for me, I could just say a color, you guys have no clue what I'm talking about. So I'll try to like name it a golfer for you to make it easier. But it really makes it a lot easier to decipher. So let's go into that Morikawa region. We'll start with the top half of the region, and we'll go with Victor Hovland at 96. Cooch at 71, Kirk at 78, Siwoo at 75. And, you know, we just talked about spending all that money on Scheffler. This is a golden opportunity, I think, to, if you don't think Vic is 100% ready to rock and roll, you can make some savings right here.
Yeah, for sure. This is a pretty tough region. You know, obviously, Chris Kirk has won recently. Siwoo's played pretty well recently. Kuchar's had a lot of success, if you remember me going, you know, back and talking about the event history. Kuchar's had a lot of success around here. Been playing, you know, better than he had the year before. I do like Siwoo Kim to come out of this range. You know, he's 5-8-3 lifetime at Austin Country Club in the match play. Not great, but if I'm going to pick one of these four, it's just I'm just going to take a chance with Siwoo here.
I'm going to tell you guys this now before we continue on. Jesse and I do not know who each other picked. Just going to throw that out there right now, because I picked Siwoo coming out of this one as well. I've been playing Siwoo all season, though. I've been big on the Siwoo train, for one. Secondly, he is a Pete Dye machine.
Yeah.
So the fact that you mentioned he's only like 5-8-3 or whatever in his time here kind of surprises me a bit. But maybe there are close matches. We don't have those numbers, of course. But he's playing some really good golf right now, especially on recent Pete Dye courses he's been to. He's played well at. And I like him in this range. Like, Vic's fine, but Vic's kind of had the up and down yips. And putting's good for Vic. There's no denying that. But to get there, the short game, all that kind of stuff's been a little sketch. You mentioned Kirk. Cooch would be the other guy I would look at here if you didn't like Siwoo. I'm okay with Cooch. I think that's an interesting way to save some dollars as well for that pass history. But for this little part of the region, the Morikawa region, I like Siwoo. Now, the other part, the Morikawa part of the Morikawa region, you got Morikawa at 95, Vic Perez at 65, J-Day at 91. I heard a rumor he might not be playing, so keep an eye on that, everybody. And Adam Svensson at 67. So do you take the pricey Morikawa, or he's been pretty hit and miss slash broken lately? So is this where you save as well?
Yeah, this is tough because obviously the guy with the form coming in is Jason Day. He's also played a lot of match play, 24-15 lifetime, 8-7 at Austin Country Club. And the guy that's been around the block. Svensson's never played match play, at least whether that be in the Ryder Cup, President's Cup, or at this golf course. Perez might be a little sneaky call there. I mean, 6,500, he had a decent showing last weekend. I don't think he finished super well, but he made the cut. So 6,500 on him if you need some savings. But this is like basically I will probably avoid this whole entire range as well. If I like Scotty Scheffler, I'm not going to play anybody in the Hovland or Morikawa pods. And then just take chances everywhere else. So I don't love anybody here, but Victor Perez to me would be the kind of sneaky. Who do I have coming out of the actual range? It's J-Day, but obviously if he's not going to play, that would.
And J-Day still might be still in the pool, but like I heard Mayo's Sunday pod, and I've seen it tweeted out from other people as well that Day was taking the week off. So the fact he's still in there, even though like we know JT's out and he's not on there and stuff, I'm confused. Maybe Day changed his mind. We'll see. That's the thing, because he would be an interesting pivot. I'll say that much. But again, Jesse mentioned the strategy. It's like, yes, we want six of the eight. But basically what Jesse's telling you is he thinks Scheffler is probably going to the finals, if not winning the whole thing. So maybe put your six of eight in a different region to try to get an extra final four. That's where he's going with this. He thinks Scheffler is going to win the next round is what it comes down to. For me, I'm 100% with you. I wrote in Victor Perez in mine. I played him last week. He was playing great till the week, and especially on Sunday, where it went really south for Victor Perez. And then he came in playing really well in Europe on the DC World Tour. So he's playing really, really good over there. I think he'd be a nice pivot, $6,500. It's almost like, even though I think Scotty's coming out of this region too, if I feel confident in my rest, just taking the $6,500 from Perez and hoping he gets to the Elite Eight is kind of nice still.
Oh, there's a huge possibility that you may need that $6,500 and maybe that $6,500. Yep. He gets to the Elite Eight, he gets beat, whatever, but you've saved so much and he scored so well. Else. Yeah,
exactly. That's kind of my angle. So I'm not crossing him off just yet. The question is, okay, we both agree Scheffler, but just for filling out bracket's sakes, you had Siwoo and Perez. I had Siwoo and Perez. I wrote down Siwoo as my guy getting through to face Scheffler in the Elite Eight. I have no problem with Perez, though. If you want to just do the savings thing in your head, cool with that. I would go Siwoo in the Elite Eight. How do you see that playing out?
If it's Siwoo against Perez, that's who I would go with. Right now I've got Jason Day in both spots, so
I would take J Day is a great. This is where it could get fun again. If you're playing Rom in his world, so you're not playing Scheffler, and then all of a sudden maybe you go Fleetwood or Sungjae and hope they get through, and then you go Jason Day and hope Day could advance to Elite Eight and be a whole different game changer.
Yep, 100%. The other thing is, like, obviously if I fill out a bracket, it's not going to be the same as the way I'm going to play DraftKings because we're salary limited there. So, yep. But yeah, 100%. But that's who I have. I have Jay Day into the Elite Eight against Scotty Scheffler.
That'd be fun. I'd be there for that. All right, let's go to the HOMA region of the bracket. That's great to say. The fifth best golfer in the world.
It's actually the Cantlay region, but.
Oh, he's fourth. Going straight down. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, you're going. I'm going color by color.
So it's weird because in some places you look, obviously they're going to have group four on top instead of group five. I tried to do it the way that it's actually on the except for that last little bit I missed that, but on the actual bracket that is on PGAtour.com.
Cantlay. Okay, you're right. Correct. Cantlay region. We'll go to the north part of the Cantlay region that is led by Max Homa as the fifth seed in this tournament, and in his little bracket, it's Homa at 10-1, Justin Suh at 73, Hideki Matsuyama, who looked almost normal at the Players at 86. And then there's Kisner, all the course history, but playing kind of sketchy golf right now at 72. Now we can have some fun as we're out of the Scheffler region. Mm-hmm. So how do you kind of see that top part playing out?
Yeah, I mean, how great would it be to play Kevin Kisner? 22-8-2 lifetime, 22-6-1 at Austin Country Club in match play. I mean, that's
insane.
75% win percentage, almost 76%. But then you look at like his stats and
his current good
Lord, coming in the last 24 rounds, losing 1.5 shots per round. The good thing about match play is you can kind of throw strokes gained out the window, but at the same time, like, you still have to be able to hit the golf ball well and beat one of the best 64 players in the world every time you go out. I think Kisner is playable just because it is match play, but I like Homa to win the region.
Yeah, I like Homa as well. If I had to pick a player, obviously in DK, it's going to be tricky to face 10-1 for Max Homa, but I'd like to play. This is where playing like Victor Perez at 65 comes into play. Like, just let me play Max Homa as well.
Yeah.
If I need to do a different guy for DK purposes in this range, I don't mind taking a chance on a low rostered Hideki Matsuyama. So I think most are going to go to either Homa or Kisner. And you got Matsuyama, 11-11-4 career match play, 5-8-2 at Austin. But as bad as he's played, his stats don't look bad in his last 24 rounds. And he's definitely improved at the Players. And if we can get back to that Decky with that approach game, that would be tremendous. And it's not elite by any means, but it's getting much better than it was a few tournaments back. So I think Decky could be kind of a sneaky one in this range. But I'm with you. If I had to just pick a name, it's Max Homa for me as well. The bottom half of this Homa section, you got Jordan Spieth at 10-2, Matt Hughes at 61, Lowry at 84, and Taylor Montgomery at 74. So how do you break this one down? Because, you know, Spieth's feeling it, but he's also feeling the yips at times.
Yeah, but I like Jordan Spieth to actually win his pod and then get out, beat Homa, and then face Scottie Scheffler in the
final four.
Yeah.
Wow, you want Texas Longhorns here.
Yeah, but see, the problem is that's going to be really difficult on DraftKings. Like, that's really going to, like, basically, if you go that route, you're only going to be playing two guys on the left side, and you're going to have to figure out some just off-the-wall stuff on the right side of the bracket, right? I mean, that's pretty much what you're saying is, like, because you're putting all your eggs in one basket there. If you have Spieth and Scheffler on the same team, it's going to be really difficult from there. I haven't tried this yet, but I do like Jordan Spieth. I like the way he's playing. He's played plenty of match play, 10-7-3 lifetime at this event, and I just don't see the competition for him here. Taylor Montgomery's never played match play. Shane Lowry is not great, has not been great lifetime at match play, is not playing super well. And then Mackenzie Hughes, I don't know the last time I saw his name on anything.
Yeah, it's been a little while. It's been a while.
So I feel like it's just too easy for Spieth to win this.
It's a 5-12 matchup too, so that's fun. Spieth, yes, I think he's a great call here. Obviously, he's the highest ranked in this little pod. I think Taylor Montgomery could be quite interesting, even though he's not played here. You look at his recent form has been great. He's putting phenomenally of late. And we've seen him have his moments to just really go low, especially on par five scoring. And then, you know, if he can figure out how to attack those short par fours with his distance and not screw himself over, that could be a lot of fun as well. So Montgomery at 74 is intriguing to me. From a DK perspective, not sure. DK, I like Spieth, of course, but that's boring in this concept for, I'm trying to give a little Taymont, I think is what I want to go with, but it's weird because he's never played here before and I hate that idea. So,
but his putter's been
awesome.
Red hot. I mean,
and, that's why, you know, I think it's interesting because putting's so huge.
I agree here with you. Yeah. I think that's a good call.
And you save some cash and go that direction if you're not on the Spieth train.
Sure.
All right, let's go to the Cantlay pod in the Cantlay region. Patrick Cantlay at 10-7, Nick Taylor at 66, Harmon at 74, KH Lee at 64. In any normal world, I would have Brian Harmon circled here, but he's playing such bad golf. It is tough to pull off. So what do you like around here? Because there's not a lot of experience in this region.
No, so KH Lee's played one career match. Did he play in the President's Cup?
It's got to be, yeah.
They only played him once in the President's
Cup? Well, see, they had Tom Kim at 0-1 too, which maybe they're not counting teams. Maybe it's just individual.
I guess that could be true, yeah. Yeah, it's just hard to not see Cantlay winning this one. It's just like the same as Jordan's. I feel like there's not a lot of competition as far as guys playing well coming into it. I agree, like Harmon is definitely a guy that I think you can put in your player pool. KH Lee too. I mean, like, the guy can make birdies in bunches. So it wouldn't surprise me, but like the next best player as far as stats wise over the last 24 rounds is Nick Taylor,
which is crazy.
But he has played well, but he's just never played any match play. So, I mean, I've got Cantlay moving on here, but this is for DFS purposes, probably just a little bubble that I'll just completely avoid.
Yeah, I have Cantlay as well. I'll keep it simple. It's just any other year, Brian Harmon would be my easy pick in this range. Shave cash, I think he'd be everybody's easy pick, honestly.
Right.
He's just playing so bad. He's owned this golf course. He loves Pete Dye tracks. Lefties crushed this course. You just, the list of things for him fall in line, except for the fact he sucks at golf right now.
Right.
That's the part that sucks. Given it's golf, anything can change, honestly. We've seen that when a certain course fits a dude's eye. He just seems more broken than that, so it's tough to go that way. All right, let's go to the Sam Burns pod in the Cantlay region here. You got Burns at 88, Hadron at 75, Seamus Power at 72, Adam Scott at 78. Definitely a spot we can save a few dollars at on DK.
Yeah, really like Scott at 7,800. I think that's a great price on him. Sam Burns kind of flashed a little bit. Did you see that he – I think it was maybe at American Express. His driver was deemed non-conforming.
Yeah. I saw all that stuff last week. I'm like, where's that information been the last month when you sucked?
I think it was Saul Goodman. He was like, this is why, like, PGA writers or, you know, the press is just terrible. Like, this is great information and would have been nice to know.
Like, how did people that follow practice rounds not notice he had a new driver in the bag? Like, these are things that we see all the time.
I guess they don't pay attention to Sam Burns. I mean, I don't know, man.
It's so bad. Wild to me. He hit it a lot better this last week when he said he was finally comfortable.
Sure did. But I do like Adam Scott. I think you can also, you know, probably play Adam Hadwin. His match play record isn't great here. 1-0-2. So I only played here one time, didn't get out of his pod that year. But he's been playing very well during this opening stretch here of the PGA Tour season. So I like Scott to advance, but I also like to sprinkle in probably Hadwin if I'm playing a lot of lineups in DK.
See, this is where it gets fun, and I hope this is kind of a reflection to ownership in this range, because I'm liking Seamus Power at 72. I'll take the cheapest dude here. He went 3-1 and won his pod last year, 3-2 overall. He lost his Elite Eight matchup. But if you can win me your pod at 72, I'm in. Like, get me that. I can handle that. He's played well here his first time. Scott's been great here. Scott would be my second choice. 4-1-2 at this course. We got Seamus Power, who he's not in the best of form right now, but again, shorter course, more of a shot maker's course. When he's locked in, it's really good, and he can get the putter going in a big, big way. So I'm leaning Seamus in this range. It is definitely one of the pods that chaos will ensue and savings will be had. This will be a popular spot to just punt the pod, basically.
I agree with you.
So you have Cantlay beating whoever comes out of this region, this little pod?
So I've got
Cantlay, Spieth, I think. Yeah, Spieth,
yes, beating Cantlay. Correct. I do have Spieth and Cantlay, and then I've got Spieth against Scheffler in the final four.
Okay, yeah, I had Cantlay for I filled mine out more of a DK mindset, so I'll be honest here. I had Cantlay versus Montgomery. I was just taking the pure punt.
Sure.
And I had Cantlay beating in to go to the final four against Scheffler.
Gotcha.
Now, like, in theory, I would just go pure chalk. I think it's Homa versus Spieth. Spieth beats Homa. Cantlay versus, like, and I'm kind of with you in that regard. Because as bad as Spieth has been headache-wise, even as bad as he's been playing, it's perfect for match play. Like, it's perfect. Yeah. So I'm with you there. Like, we have to kind of put that in our mind to not hold on to that grudge there because he fits this mold perfectly. So let's do the right side of the bracket here, and let's see who our final four is here to face off with: Scheffler, Cantlay, or Scheffler, Spieth, however you look at this one. And we'll start in the ROM region, where the beast of the East, hopefully he doesn't have the shits anymore. That'll be great. John Rahm at 11,000. Ricky Fowler, 82. You know, finally playing good golf, and you get paired with John Rahm. Billy Ho at 79, and Killer Keith Mitchell at 81. Interesting, because Billy Ho has played great here, but his current form stinks. But the other two golfers are actually hitting the ball pretty well, but it is John Rahm. So how do you look at it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like for just DK purposes, it'll be worth to sprinkle Fowler, Horschel, and Mitchell. Do I think they're going to win the pod? No, but if they do, and you've got Scheffler and somebody else play John Rahm, you're way ahead, right? So just maybe a little sprinkle of those three is something that I will do. I think John Rahm wins it. My next choice would want to be Billy Horschel if he wasn't playing so bad. So Ricky Fowler probably would be like my really second choice to come out of this, but it's just hard to fade Rahm and not pick him in the bracket portion of it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Bracket-wise, you pick John Rahm, you play the chalk. It's just how this game works. But for DK purposes, I'm going Keith Mitchell at 81. Playing really good golf. In the last couple of weeks, kind of slowed down a bit from that tear he was on the West Coast in the early Florida swing. But I still love the way he's striking the golf ball. His approach game is on point. Just overall hitting the ball great. The putter can be better. It's always been Mitchell's problem. Always been his problem is the putter. And that's where Ricky might have an edge on him if you want to go that route. But I'll take the $8,100. I'll take Keith Mitchell here to save some cash, and hopefully fading Rahm is the angle there. But again, if you're not playing Scottie Scheffler, you're probably playing John Rahm. Keep that in mind. So I'll go Keith Mitchell. The other half of this pod here, you got Cam Young at 92, who now has a new caddy. Not sure if you saw that today, so that'll be fun. He's got Webb's old caddy, Tesori. That's a change. Davis Thompson at 62. Corey Connors at 79. And Sepp Straka at 61. So you can definitely save some cash here if you choose.
Yeah, this is another kind of like the Sam Burns region where who knows who's going to come out of this one, right? Like Cameron Young, Obviously, great player, but not been playing super great as of late. Sepp Straka, whatever. Corey Connors, great ball striker, and then Davis Thompson been playing some solid golf here recently. I have winning the pod, Corey Connors. I just feel like I'm just going to go with the guy who traditionally is a ball striker. He does have a winning record here, too, of 5-4 lifetime at Austin. So that's where I'm going to lean, and especially with his depressed price tag on DraftKings at 79. That's a good little spot there. I feel like that I'll take some chances on Corey Connors.
Yep, I don't mind that. For me, I either want to get Cam Young if I can afford it, which is difficult. I understand that. I just like his overall gameplay. It seems like he's one of those young guys that's really close to just breaking through the door. So this could be a good spot for him, especially if you know, I pick Rom not to advance. This could be a great spot for Young to make a little bit of a run here. But I'm also leaning heavily on just saying screw it and taking Davis Thompson to $6,200. We've seen his game play at Pete Dye courses this year at the Amex, played really well, finished second, destroyed the par fives there. And then we saw him at the Players, played great until his horrific Sunday. So he really played well on that course as well. So maybe he's a Pete Dye guy. We'll see. That could be an angle there. But at $6,200 for a guy that we know can birdie with the best of them, he can also blow up with the best of them. But hey, what have we said? It's his match play. So give me those kind of options. I think Davis Thompson at $6,200 is a guy I don't mind taking a chance at and just saving a few bucks. So who do you have coming out of this top ROM area up here?
ROM.
Yeah. What if you just pick Rom? Who would be your pick if you pick
Rom? I guess Corey Connors, because you know, but I mean, like, if I'm filling out a bracket to try to, like, you know, I don't know, maybe people have money or whatever on just the bracket, not playing DFS, I'm gonna go Rom. But it's gonna be difficult, obviously, if you got Scheffler. I love Scheffler. I'm not gonna play. It's gonna be difficult to play Rom with him. So Corey Connors would be the guy that I would pick to upset and come out of this that little eight some there.
Yeah, I'm with Rom as well, but for other purposes, like we mentioned, I have either the Cam Young, Davis Thompson idea in my head. I have either one of them advancing to the Elite Eight if you don't pick John Rom. I think if you think someone else beats Rom in that top spot, I think either Young or Davis Thompson, whoever comes out of there, takes care. So regardless, we both think whoever's in that Cam Young pod comes through if Rom does not. That's kind of the way we're looking at it, so take that with a grain of salt if you so choose. Let's go to the bottom half of the ROM region. And we got Willie Z at $8,900, and he has been a disaster right now. You got Putnam at 6K, Harris English at 69, Ryan Fox at 7,000. Again, another region that just screams punt and save some money.
Yeah, I do like Will Zalatoris, 4-3-1 lifetime at Austin Country Club. But yeah, I agree. Like, just from a DFS perspective, I think you can probably sprinkle Fox, English, and Putnam on some lineups and just hope that one of those guys makes it through, because the other portion of this one too is kind of sketch. So I think it's worth taking some chances on DraftKings in this particular range, the Zalatoris/Finau group here.
Yeah, you said it very nicely. This region's kind of sketch. I'm 100% on board with you on that one. When I look at this region, I just think Willie Z's broken. Could be wrong in that scenario. So I lean Harris English at $6,900. Fox could be popular, but I'd be doing that more on a Bombers track. You know, English is 5-5 in his career in match plays, 1-2 here, so not great. He's putting pretty well. We've seen him play much better in recent weeks is what I'm looking for with Harris English. So at least he's coming in a bit of decent form is one way I would characterize that. Over the last few events, you got English has finished, he missed the cut at the Players, but again, we've talked about the Players, but second at the API, missed cut at Honda, 12th at Genesis. So in the big fields, he's either missed the cut or finished top 12 in, outside of the Players. I think that's positive thinking with Harris English. So I'll take my chances there with Harry at $6,900. Now, you mentioned the other part of this pot is a little ew, so let's just get it over with. And you got Tony Finau at 98, Seabez at 67, Kitayama, recent winner, took the week off. Hopefully, hangover's gone at 76, and Adrian Meronk at 64. So some young guns and Finau. What do you like here?
Yeah, you know, from DFS perspective, again, I feel like if I'm playing Scheffler, I'm going to sprinkle all three of these guys in there. Obviously, I'm not going to have them in the same lineup, and then I'm not going to have any of the Zalatoris portion of those three guys that I mentioned before that I would sprinkle. So I do like Maronk. I just feel like, you know, it's just a hunch. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes in March Madness, you pick the upset. I'm just going to take Maronk out of this region. I've got him winning his pod and then beating Zalatoris in the next round. So
I like it. I like it. We both have the winner, our person out of this pod. Let's put it that way, going on to the next round here. And I'll start with mine. And I think it's Cibes. I know he's had horrific success here. 0-5-1 is not what you want to see. But again, in this pod, it's not really a whole lot going on, to be honest with you. And the overall game is improving over the last few weeks. The putter has been good pretty much overall. Off the tee and approach has been killing him of late. But again, like I said, his current form is getting much, much better. I know we've been on him a little bit of late. He finished 13th the players, miscut at API, 42nd Honda, 58th Genesis. So he's improved like each week outside of the API missed cut, which he just blew up, finished 6 over, missing the cut. But I really like what Cibes can do. I think he's really good. That's why I'm surprised he's 0-5-1 in this format, to be completely honest. I think he's very good for a match play type format. So he'd be the guy I'd have coming out of here. All right, who do you have going to the final four in this top right region, the ROM region?
I've got ROM.
ROM, okay.
That's from the again from the bracket perspective.
From the bracket's perspective, I can't disagree with that at all. All right, let's go down to the Rory McIlroy region, and we'll start with the top part of that region, and we'll start with Xander Schauffele at $10,300. Cam Davis at 66. Aaron Wise at 68 and Tom Hoagie at 77. And I'm kind of torn here, Jesse, because to me, there's two things. I think Xander either gets way overlooked in this entire field.
Yeah.
With the other guys, especially DK Wise.
Yeah.
Or he just gets shellacked here. It doesn't matter. Like, it's one or the other for me. So how do you look at that little pod?
Yeah. The price is right. Right. Especially with him being next to the Fitzpatrick range here. I know you talked about how weird Fitzpatrick has been recently, and it's true as far as his golf game goes. I feel like whoever wins this is going to come out. I do like Cameron Davis, man. I mean, like, I feel like Cam Davis has the skill set.
You heard about him, right?
No.
So it was like 2 weeks ago, because I don't think he played last week. I think it was the week before that Cam Davis played. Let me pick it. Take his sheet up. Yeah, 6,600. The player even finished sixth after all those missed cuts. He said he's been ill and he's not felt good, so he hasn't been able to practice. He just has to show up basically on Wednesday, hit the range, and then play Thursday. He hasn't been able to practice anything.
Wow.
And now all of a sudden he feels good.
Good.
There again, we go. Reporting. Once
again. Yeah, I mean, that's great information.
Like, holy shit.
I really like his price tag on DraftKings at $6,600. I mean, he hits it so far, he's going to be out in front of most people. I'm sure Xander and I mean, people can hit it with him, but I mean, he's going to be hitting it, especially like some of these holes are downhill. It's just a really fun golf course to watch, but Xander is obviously the favorite. I do like Cam Davis. I've got Xander advancing in my bracket, but I will play quite a bit of Cam Davis on my DraftKings lineups.
I think the Cam Davis call is a very good DK call. I'm with you 100% on that. I have Xander coming out of the bracket again, chalk coming through. He's playing pretty darn good golf. That's why I think he's, if you are playing DK and you want to be different somehow and you can squeeze in a second guy with Scheffler, I think, and it's the total opposite end of the bracket, I think Xander's interesting. I don't know if he gets there, but I think he's an interesting play if you look at DK, right, like ownership wise. But yeah, I like that. I like the Cam Davis call that you mentioned quite a bit, especially if he is healthy from the things that I was talking about. That can be interesting. Aaron Wise, just because he's a big-time putter. When his putter's on, he can contend almost with anybody we've seen. That's just a big if. So I got Xander coming out of here, but it's an interesting little pod, to say the least. The other half of this pod, you mentioned Fitzpatrick at 85, Minwoo Lee at 76, Sahith Theegala, your boy, at 6K, and then JJ Spahn at 6,000. So how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, that price tag on Sahith is a little high, but I mean – given his draw here, I do think he has a chance to win this pod. I do like Minwoo Lee, though. I mean, like, the guy has been playing out of his mind of late. I know he missed the cut a couple weeks ago, but then had a great showing at the Players, correct?
Last time
he played. Yeah, I finished sixth at the Players. And he just kind of tends to show up. If you remember us talking about him before, I think the Honda Classic, like, he had just not played over here in forever, but when he did, he was playing only the big events like the Masters, the U.S. Open, and he made the cuts and finished pretty well. So I don't feel like dude is scared of anything. So, yeah, I've got Minwoo Lee winning this pod to face Xander in the next round, and I like his price on DraftKings at 76. I'm probably going to sprinkle in some Sahith as well. JJ Spawn, no. And Fitzpatrick, what is going on with him?
Yeah, it's bad. It's real bad with Fitzy. I'm with you. I have Minwoo as well. I like Minwoo quite a bit. Riding into form really well. He played really well here his last go-round, 1-1-1. I think it's pretty darn good for a first-time debut here. We mentioned the Euro Tour play as well. So, yeah, it's Minwoo for me. Xander versus Minwoo. I got Minwoo beating Xander.
I like it. I mean, I don't think it's out of the question.
Do you have Xander, though?
Yes. I've got Xander into the Elite Eight. Yep.
All right. Let's see who he faces here in the bottom half of this pod in the Rory McIlroy region. You got Rory at 10-5, Scott Stallings at 62, Denny McCarthy at 69, and Keegan Bradley at 77. I got two ways to look at this region. How do you see this little pod?
Yeah, this is a pretty good draw for Rory. I mean, two guys who've never played in this event, and then Keegan Bradley, who's never won in this event. Okay. I mean, it's hard not to pick Rory to come out of this range. I mean, you could make a case for Denny just because his putter. Bingo. Like, if his putter gets going.
One thing. Yep.
Yeah, if his putter gets going at 6,900, you know, I could see him beating Rory and coming out of this, you know, bracket, you know, coming out of this pod 2-1 and, you know, playing the winner. But the thing is, for me, I really like the next group. I really like a particular person in the next group. So
I bet you we have the same guy.
Yeah, I guarantee it is.
And I mentioned him earlier on the show.
I've got Rory winning this pod. But for DFS purposes, I'll probably be full fade on this little pod, the Rory pod. I'll just not play at all.
Yeah, we're pretty much, I think, seeing this little part of the region the same way. On paper, Rory should run away with this one because it seems simple. But I wrote down Denny as the alternative because I think it's his putter plus the savings at $6,200. He's playing good golf. It's a short golf course. Like, these are all things that play into Denny McCarthy.
Yeah.
I think it's a really, really good setup for Denny to kind of play spoiler here potentially. So if you want to just punt, you want to get weird, and you want to save money to get maybe somebody in the next – because I'm, like, kind of trying to build – a lineup as we talk, and I'm telling you, to get the picks I have down for the Elite Eight, it ain't easy. Unless you're you can leave cash on the table. That's something you can definitely do. Remember that. But it ain't easy. All right, so let's go to this bottom part of the region, the pod over here. Hatton at 9,000, Ben Griffin at 65, Russell Henley at 71, Lucas Hebert at 63. Please tell me you're playing the same guy I am. Who is the guy you're talking about?
It's Hatton.
Yes, right. I have Hatton going
deep. Yeah, yeah, I like Hatton all the way into the final match. I mean,
so we have the same fight. I think we have the same ending here. Damn it.
I like Hatton to win his pod, to beat Rory in the next round, beat Xander in the next round, beat Rahm in the Elite in the final four, and then lose to Scheffler in the final match there.
Let people see my thing here. If you can read it, that thing has Scheffler versus Hatton, Scheffler circled. So yeah, we have the same thing. I'm just gonna put that down real quick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard. I you know, Terrell is playing really well. That's number one. Mm-hmm. But in this particular pod, he's got the only winning record. Well, Lucas Herbert has a winning record at 2-1. I guess he just didn't get out of his pod last year, but. 8-7-2, Russell Henley, not great match play. Ben Griffin's never played it. So, yeah, just give me all the Hatton.
Yeah, that's we're on the same page. I'm not going to overdo it there. Hatton's a match play. He's locked in right now playing good golf, as you said. It's just lines up just absolutely beautifully for Mr. Tyrell Hatton. Big fan. Big fan of what's going to take place there. Hopefully we are correct. We both have Scheffler winning the whole damn thing. But I will tell you, I have five or six golfers right now that are in my Elite Eight, and I have $8,200 left. And it's like, if I decide to have Keith Mitchell go over Rahm, okay, he fits. Like, it's that whole top right, Corey Connors can fit. It just basically, if Rahm screws up, this lineup could work beautifully. Yeah. But if Rahm doesn't, then I got to rely on that Cantlay bottom corner and maybe go Seamus Power and just leave $1,000 on the table. So it gets a little murky there. Like, I'm almost hoping for five or six right about now. it's weird.
The thing is like, I can't remember exactly last year or whatever, but the amount of people who get six of six, first of all, through the is super low.
And then
the amount of people,
four of four.
Right. I mean, it's like so difficult. So yeah, I mean,
well, one strategy, the first two guys I put Scheffler and Hattening. So I'm like, that's my final. Let's build around that.
One strategy that I've heard in the past, especially for like cash, is just loading up on like one of the quadrants, right? So you're playing six guys and just hoping you're getting at least two of those guys to the Elite Eight, and then, you know, from there. So I would not play cash this week, by the way.
No,
it's
not
something that I would ever do, but it is a really fun GPP week because there are going to be lineups who are theoretically, like, maybe probably 20-30% out the gate, don't have a chance to get six through to the Elite Eight. So
yeah, so you're already like, you're ahead of the game on paper, but then again, if there are three that get through, make it to the final four, they probably end up beating you still somehow.
Yes. I mean, it could. It very well could be, yes. Yeah. 100%.
So it gets goofy. That's what's fun about this match play deal. It's going to be good. Like I said, just trying to build a lineup here. It's getting, you know, mind pretzeling already out the gate.
There are some good optimizers out there where you can, they just do everything for you. But like what I use, I have to go in and put like, I only want, you know, one golfer from this group of golfers, and it takes freaking forever to do it unless I hand build them all. Then if you hand build them all, you can't hand build 150 lineups. It literally, you have to do it over a couple day period, and we've only got till Wednesday.
Yeah, yes, that's a great point. Totally left that cat out of the bag earlier. this event starts Wednesday, not Thursday, because they play three games. You get to play each person in your pool Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
All right.
And then if the Saturday you get the Elite Eight, or the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, and then on Sunday you get the Final Four and the Final, basically.
Yes.
So just keep that in mind. It's one match Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then two Saturday, two Sunday, if you're so fortunate to get through there. Great point. Should have probably said that earlier in the show. That is my bad. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because I would have totally skipped out on that one, as I would have forgot. But it's fun. I love watching it. I love trying to follow it. It's just great golf. But
it's great too, because you've got matches all day, right? Yeah. I mean, especially Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, just matches constantly from morning till dark. And it's always really fun golf, because guys are hitting shots that they wouldn't normally hit and making putts that they wouldn't normally make, because match play is different, man.
Yeah. And it's like sometimes you play safe. Like, I always love it, because I love match play, because I'm not a bomber, but I can play with a lot of guys because I can usually hit my shorter shot straighter type thing.
Sure.
And so I love either having the advantage and just putting one down the middle and just making them sweat, because their bombers like to cut corners. Now they can't take the risk. Or I like hitting second, because when you see them just shank one, you put a different club in the bag and take another one out just to like show them, hey, I can be safe now. It's a mental game. I love it. And I talk a lot of trash. I love it. So it's match plays for me, I'll tell you that.
And this is a great, back nine golf course. A lot of the matches don't get to 18, but 18 is a great hole. 17 is a lot of fun. It's a short par three. Don't remember 16 too awful much, but then there's that one drivable par four over water. It's a great hole. And then they have that big time par five down the hill. I think maybe it's like 11. So it's just a great golf course. I love watching golf at this golf course.
I want to say it was last year, because I remember it involved Scheffler. I don't know if it was the finals or the quarterfinal or semifinals, but it was one of those where he was kind of running away with it, which doesn't help still. But his opponent was like the drivable par four, and you can see Scheffler could lay it up, and his opponent had to go for it type things.
Yeah.
And that just brings a whole nother atmosphere. Yeah. Like, it's so
100%.
Sure. It's great. Before we get out of here, I got DraftKings Sportsbook up here. Scheffler's 8-1, Rory's 11-1, Rahm's 11-1. Those are your favorites. Anybody besides Scheffler you see that you'd put potential American dollars on?
I forgot to pull this up. What's Hatton?
Hatton is 25-1. I do like that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's worth it. A little sprinkle there.
Jason Day's 30. That's got a little, like, if he keeps playing good the way he's playing, he likes this place. He likes Pete Dye. Interesting.
Sure. Yeah. I could see that. Siwoo at 80. You never know. I mean, he's up there in that Scotty range. So not great, but another guy who's plays Pete Dye as well. The fun thing is to bet like the head-to-head matchups.
The head-to-head matchups are big. There's a lot of prop bets for this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So biggest winning margin. You can do all kinds of goofy stuff.
Yeah. Once they come out with the
matches.
Yeah, the matches. So they're already posted over, it looks like, on the far right. So it starts at 10:20, and that's Eastern, I'm assuming. J.J. Spahn and
I see him.
Fitzpatrick out the gate. Yeah, no, I mean, like, I just like Scotty a lot, so if I'm not, I wouldn't really bet anybody else, but it's just that time of year, man. Scotty year. Scotty time.
Yep, heading to the Masters. Like, I'm kind of missing. I still had him for one and done, but I do not, so we'll see how that – actually, I think I do. Oh, wait, I got to go back and look at that. That'll be fun. let's have some fun this week. See where it goes. If you guys have any questions, I'm around the Discord. I'll be around the Fantasy Degens Discord. Dyer's already in there. He had a good week last week, and he's already talking about how much he loves match play. So when he's grinding things out, it's always entertaining. So come jump in there if you guys have any questions, because there's a lot going on these brackets, but it's a lot of fun too. So let us know. If not, follow Jesse on the Twitter there at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. And I am at BD Intric. This was your 2023 WGC Dell Match Play Preview.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.